This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning and welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanesan with Noel Lim and Kusu Chuang in the studio this morning. In about 15 minutes, we'll be bringing you the KLCI opening numbers, as well as some of the latest corporate boot news here in Malaysia. But in the meantime, let's talk about the South China Sea and the tensions brewing there. Now, while the world is struggling to handle the pandemic, tensions are bubbling over in the South China Sea over ongoing maritime disputes. I think in December, Petronas contracted a vessel to explore two areas in the South China Sea in its extended continental shelf, in Malaysia's extended continental shelf. The area is also claimed by both Vietnam and China, who both immediately sent ships to shadow that vessel.
Yeah, so I think China is claiming like 80% of the southeast, of the South China Sea, right through its nine dash line, this like invisible border that is drawn out. And this, this tension has always been around for such a long time.
Yeah, so tensions escalated when China sent this surveyor over there, and it was involved in a standoff with Vietnam last year over offshore energy blocks. Obviously, this is always about oil, even at prices like this. And Bloomberg reports that the US also sent at least two warships with some 50 nautical miles of the Petronas ship. This is an area that is hotly paid attention to by many parties.
Well, obviously, right? The Vietnamese, us in Malaysia, the Bruneians, clearly, the Philippines, all of us want to have some kind of territorial claim to these areas. And of course, it's all about fossil fuels, right? In terms of proven or probable, and both in terms of how much lies beneath those grounds, it could be trillions of dollars, right? And I think it's interesting that China is taking this opportunity to basically rattle its sabers and to stake its claim at a time when the Americans are under huge pressure. And don't forget that the nearest warship that the Americans had was in Guam off the Pacific Ocean, the Roosevelt. Yeah, it's not taking another commission.
Yeah, so U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has accused China of taking advantage of the world's distraction with COVID-19 to strengthen its claim in the sea. Now, this is not the first incursion by China towards the ASEAN neighbors. And to give us some insight here, we speak to Rizwan Rahmat, principal defense analyst with Jane's by IHS Market. Rizwan, thank you for joining us this morning. What do you make of China's actions towards the Malaysian vessel, and how does this compare with previous history of its actions in the disputed waters?
Hey guys, good morning. Yeah, I think it certainly looks extremely complicated. If I may just start about the complication and how complex it is, the strategic relationship between Malaysia and China. So it's very strange. So you have on one hand Malaysia having this on and off spat with Beijing in the South China Sea. You know, China has been sending its Coast Guard vessels. It's not a recent development, by the way. China has been sending its Coast Guard vessels to Batu Petinggi Ali since at least 2014. And it has been an on and off deployment. And the Chinese Coast Guard vessel stays just off Sarawak for months at a time. So you've got this situation. But on the other hand, Malaysia is trying its best to build a closer defense relationship with China. And it has done very well in this area. You've got to remember, you know, it's the first time in 2016, the first time ever that Malaysia signed a contract for warships. You know, you bought warships from Malaysia, which is currently going to be in service as the Courage class. So you've got this extremely complicated relationship that's going on. And then a few weeks ago, this vessel known as the Haiyang DZ-8, it sailed into waters claimed by Malaysia. And it was claimed to be conducting scientific research, although in all probability, it is shadowing the White Capella, which is the vessel that has been engaged by Petronas. So it's a very intricate balancing game that's going to be played by Malaysian leaders from here onwards.
So talks on claims have dragged on for more than 10 years, I think. And in the short term, every time something happens, each country will tell, you know, China in a nice way to, you know, move away. But it seems like there has to be some longer term plan. And what do you foresee that plan might be in negotiating with China?
Yeah, and that's exactly the question that I asked your former defense minister. So in 2015, I was privileged enough to interview Mr. Hishamuddin Hussein in Langkawi. And at that time, he was the defense minister, of course. So I asked exactly the same question. What's going to happen? Why are you keeping quiet? And why are you allowing this China Coast Guard vessel to basically anchor itself off Sarawak? So Minister Hishamuddin gave me a big sigh and he looked downwards and he said, you know, Rizwan, just because we don't seem that we are doing, we don't look like we are doing anything, does not mean that we are doing anything. Right? So Malaysia is, like I said, a very complicated position. On one hand, China is one of the largest trade partners in Malaysia. A lot of Malaysian exports go there. If not the largest trade partner, right? You've got palm oil. You've got palm oil that now cannot make it to Europe and depending on Chinese exports. But on the other hand, you've got very conspicuous deployment of naval and coast guard vessels into waters of Sabah and Sarawak. So what Minister Hishamuddin told me is that on the surface, it cannot seem that Malaysia is going to be too confrontational in the South China Sea aspect. But he assured me that on the informal diplomatic front, negotiations, discussions are always ongoing, especially at a time like this. So I would imagine, although Hishamuddin Hussein is now the Foreign Affairs Minister, I would imagine some form of talks going on at the diplomatic level that may not be transparent to us.
But what's your view? Obviously, he's not going to reveal his hand completely on what the game plan is. But do you think there's actually a game plan? And this game plan seems to me has to be quite a broad one and not just limited to talks about what happens on the sea. It has to be a broader economic negotiation.
Yeah, exactly. This is the thing, right? You have to speak softly and carry a big stick. That's what they always say in diplomacy, right? But the problem with Malaysia is that Malaysia can speak softly for years to come. But in comparison with China's military powers, Malaysia does not carry a big stick. So there is limitations to what can be done at the diplomatic front, what can be done in terms of negotiations. At the end of the day, if China sends in a warship that Malaysia cannot reply to, your options are still extremely limited. And that's the story. It's not just Malaysia, that is the story across Southeast Asia in general. There isn't a Southeast Asian country that can challenge China militarily. So if you were to ask my opinion, this is a problem that's not going to go away. China is going to continue asserting its rights in the South China Sea, and until Southeast Asian countries can come, unify, get their act together, I think the problem is going to be there forever.
Well, it's quite clear, Rizwan, that Malaysia, as with other ASEAN nations, are just basically bit players in this theatre. It's really, I think, what it means for the world in terms of China versus the Americas. And I think the Americans don't have much of a say in the region anymore. Do you have a point of view in terms of what it means for the world and the ongoing spats between the Americans and the Chinese, and how much how instrumental is the South China Sea region is in that spat?
Extremely instrumental. If you were to look at the latest spat of Sarawak, yes, you are right. The Southeast Asian countries are not able to do much militarily. The options for the US are limited. But you got to remember, in Sarawak right now, there is an Australian warship that is berthed together. You know, it's been conducting drills with the three American warships since 17th of April. And that, to me, is an emblem of what's to come. The Australians have said very clearly that they will be deploying their warships into the South China Sea. The Canadians have said that they will deploy their warships to the South China Sea. And so does the UK Royal Navy. So the South China Sea moving forward, while the Southeast Asian countries may not be able to do much militarily, I think we're going to see a lot more involvement of extraterritorial powers who are going to deploy their warships and escalate tensions in the region.
Okay, Rizwan, in 30 seconds flat, how concerned should people in the region be of an escalation in this spat in whatever direction it might take?
I think you should be very concerned. You know, whenever there is a huge congregation of warships like this, there is a very real possibility that there's a miscalculation could happen. And I think that would have adverse effects on our trade routes.
All right, Rizwan, thank you so much for spending some time with us this morning. That was Rizwan Rahmat, Principal Defence Analyst at Jane's by IHS Market, essentially just pointing out that this is a significant, this is not something to be not paying attention to, right? And especially as we put a lot of our attention on the pandemic, it seems like China has taken this time to stake a bit of a claim here. Or at least push a bit of its weight around.
Well, history has shown us that economic spats sometimes do escalate into conflagrations of a global nature. And I think the ostensible disappearance of the North Korean leader doesn't add any equilibrium into the spat.
Yes, I know that he's painting quite a dire picture about what's going on, and the risk seems quite high. But I wonder now, as China is emerging as that world superpower, might it be more concerned about its reputation and, you know, having this developing a stronger soft power reputation?
Well, if this sounds really complicated, you are correct. And if you want to know more about the legality and history of the South China Sea dispute, Lin Mark actually spoke with author Bill Hayton about the South China Sea, the struggle for power in Asia, on The Breakfast Grill last month. You can find that on the BFM app. It's the title is South China Sea, Historic Rights and Regional Resolution, BFM app or on Spotify. Right now, we're going into a few messages, and when we come back, the KLCI opening numbers. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.